Good morning. 8:17 a.m. on January the 20th, 2016. Did I say 15 yesterday? I don't know. So yeah, yesterday's, for those who came late to the party, yesterday's post went A, into the wrong directory, B, I typoed the right directory, and even when I corrected the typo, nobody could find a file because it was in the wrong place. So I finally got that fixed yesterday. Honestly, you have to retrain me. I have to retrain me. It's cold. It's not cold. Well, according to the thermometer in the backyard, it's 20 degrees Fahrenheit. It feels colder than that, and I think it's because it may be more humid than normal. It's overcast, it's gray, it's an ugly morning. Hey, and it's slippery as hell. Yesterday was in the 40s. We got a lot of melt, and all of that melt has refrozen from snow into ice, and then skating across the sidewalk right now that's covered in it. There we go. So yeah, footing is a bit treacherous this morning, just a bit treacherous. So yeah, I've been working on a story. It's Natalie Ruggieri's origin story. It's a short story, which I will tell you more about when I am released to be able to tell you about it. But I'm trying to write a 5,000-word short story. And most of you know that I really don't do shorts. I really don't like doing shorts. I've been working on this story since Christmas. And, chipping away at a couple hundred words a day. Let it sit for a couple days, come back to it, another couple hundred words. Very tedious. And in part, I'm convinced now, because of what happened yesterday, I'm convinced now it was because I was trying to write the story instead of letting the story be written the way the story needed to be written. I was trying to force it. One of the things I used to say, people used to ask me, how did you do this so fast? How did you do this? How do you write this stuff? And it's like, well, I just try to type fast enough to keep up with the movie in my head. And I don't always have a movie in my head these days. It's harder and harder to get the projectionist to show up and mount the reel. Ashes Born had a projectionist. Ashes Born... I knew the opening scene in Ashes Born, even though, and perhaps because I spent, God, I don't know how long, months writing what wasn't actually the opening of the book. Think about what actually wasn't the opening of the book. And when the opening came to me, it was like, oh, yeah, well, of course. It has to be this, and it was. And the story just took off from there. So yesterday, I'm sitting there, and it's pretty late in the day. It's like mid-afternoon. And it's like, this story is like wet paper mache. It's too wet to form. There's no armature in it. I can't turn it into a sculpture. It's just gray, soggy, cellulose fibers with a little glue. And they weren't sticking together very well. So I said, well, okay, you've been writing trying to get to this particular scene. Why don't you write that scene and see where it goes? And then I realized the reason I was trying to get to that particular scene was because it's the beginning of the story. That's where the story started. And it's a bit atypical in terms of my openings. It's a bit less ease you into the story than my typical story. It's much more pool, oh, deep end, go, and off you are. And I violate a couple of my own rules. This is I put the main character in trouble before I give you a reason to care. And I don't know if it's going to work or not. I honestly do not know if it's going to work or not. I've run the opening past a couple of people and they're like, whoa, dude. So that's optimistic. That's a positive sign. But as I'm working on this, I'm thinking of, there's a story, and I think it's a Zen koan, but I'm not sure. I've never been able to find it again. It's one that I found, heard, read something years ago, and I've never been able to find it again. I keep looking for it, but I haven't been able to find it. And it's a story about the artist and the fish. And the story is that a businessman in a small town wanted something for his office, for his where he does business, something that would impress visitors, something that would be unique to his establishment. And he was moderately wealthy, and he learned that on the outskirts of his village was a famous artist who was able to take rice paper and ink and bring them alive, that he was a master of his craft, famous across the land, and he lived in his town. So he thought, well, what better than to have a famous local artist paint a picture? And he thought, well, what kind of picture would I like? He says, I would like a fish. So one day he gets gets himself together, and he goes across town, and he visits with the artist, who says, I'd like to commission you to paint me a fish. And the artist says, okay, sure, I can do that. I can paint you a fish. And come back in a week. A week? Yes, come back in a week. So the businessman shrugs and he goes and back to work. And the next week he comes and the artist says, I'm sorry, but the painting isn't ready yet. And the businessman said, oh, okay, well, when should I come back? He said, come back in a week. So the businessman goes, he comes back in a week. And the artist says, I'm sorry, it's not ready yet. The businessman is quite disappointed at this point, and he says, well, all right, okay, should I come back in a week? And he says, no, come back in a month. A month? The businessman is quite upset. But he says, all right, well, you... And he goes back to his... goes back home, and a month later he comes and visits the artist, and he says, all right, I need my fish, I need my painting. And the artist says, no, I'm sorry, it's not ready yet. What do you mean it's not ready yet? You asked me for a week, and then you asked for another week, and now you've asked for a month. How come it's not ready yet? He says, oh, it's just not ready yet. And the businessman is quite upset, and he says, so should I come back in a month? And the artist says, come back in the spring. And this man looks at the ground outside, knowing that snow will soon fall and that spring is a season away. And he says, spring? And the artist says, yes, come back in spring. So the businessman says, all right, well, I'll come back in spring. And he goes off, and he spends the winter staring at the blank spot where he wants this painting, this masterpiece, to appear, where he wants it to be, where his vision of it takes shape, and he understands nothing. He wants his painting. He doesn't understand how it can take so long to paint a picture of a fish. And the winter comes and the winter goes, and eventually the snows retreat and the buds form. And he goes back to the artist and he says, I've come for my fish. And the artist says, well, okay, come on in. And the businessman follows him in, and the artist goes back to his studio, and he takes out a pristine sheet of rice paper, and he assembles his brushes and his inks, and he stares at the page for perhaps a minute, and then with a few deft strokes of his brush, while the businessman watches in awe, a fish swims onto the page. So alive. The businessman thinks he could serve it for dinner. So real. So there. Such a fish. And he looks at this fish, and he's filled with delight at seeing the fish, but also with anger at the artist for making him wait. And so he confronts him, and he says, that's it? That's all you needed to do? In a matter of a couple of minutes, you've put me off and put me off and put me off and put me off through the winter, and in a matter of minutes, you produce this masterpiece. Why? And the artist shrugs, and he goes to a cabinet beside his desk, and he opens the door, and thousands of pages fall from the shelf inside and scatter across the floor. And the businessman looks and he sees that they're all the same. They're all the fish, but not alive. They're just paintings of a fish. They're not complete. They're not right. And he takes his fish and goes home. So I think a lot about that, Colin, when I'm working, and I realize that what I'm writing isn't right. It isn't the right story, or it's not the right scene, or it's not the right tone, or they're not the right characters, or it's not the right action, or... And I think of the fish. And I have no expectation that my fish will be alive, that my fish will be a masterpiece, that my fish will be so real you can cook it for dinner. But I understand and can accept that in order to get the right fish, I might have to draw a lot of wrong fish in order to find it. And so when I'm struggling to try to get words on paper, I'm struggling to find the fish in my head so that I can put it on the page. And I'm trying not to beat myself up, because I still have this misguided notion that artists that stories are piecework that depend on so many words per hour, or so many words per minute, or so many words per day in order to come to life. And I realize that, no, that's not right. That isn't how it works. It has never been how it's worked for me. And I know And there's a certain sense that you have to put some words down. I mean, they have to go onto the page. They have to be there in order for the story to finally come into being. But you have to accept that the words might not be the right words right off. They might not even be the right story right off. And that there will be times when the story doesn't follow the curve of the fish. The story doesn't show the back fin in correct proportion. And you have to fix it. You have to accept that it's flawed and perhaps start over. And that's what I did yesterday. I realized that the fish on the page wasn't alive. And I intended to keep those 7,000 words. I thought, well, maybe there's something there I can use. No, I inadvertently saved over it. Dumbass. I almost never do that, but I did. I did yesterday. And maybe it was a sign. Maybe it was... No, you don't save those words. Those are discards. And yes, it was 7,000 words, and yes, it took me 4 weeks to put those 7,000 words together, which is a ridiculous amount of time for me to put words together, but it was also, had I been a trifle more aware, had I been a little more trusting of my own process, a little more trusting of the story that I wanted to tell, a little more trusting of my instinct, my notion about what the story could be. If I'd been a little more trusting, I might have been able to do this sooner. But then, the reality is, if I could have done it sooner, I would have done it sooner. That going through the steps that created all of the not fish, it created all of the not stories, the hours I spent thinking about how this needed to unfold and writing down possibilities of how the tale should proceed, it gave me insight into the characters, gave me insight into the setting, gave me insight into what it should be instead, all of which fed my dissatisfaction with the work in progress, all of which convinced me that I should start over, begin again with a fresh piece of rice paper and a pot of ink and my brush, and to look at it once more, not with fresh eyes, but with the eyes that had seen it as it might be, and had seen it as it had existed, and to approach it from the perspective of, well, how do I close the gap between what it could be and what it should be. And so yesterday, yeah, it wasn't anywhere near Lowell, it was... I wrote 1,500 words yesterday. I've already got 500 words on it today. Actually, I think I've got 1,000 words on it today. Anyway, the story I started yesterday has got 2,500 words on it right at the moment. So somewhere in there, I lost 500 words or added 500 words or something. They may not all stay. I suspect I'll get up to about 7,000 words before I get to the end, and I'll have to go back and cut and prune and trim. And I may just send them a long story. I don't know. Last for 5,000 words. Yeah, okay, fine. We'll see how it works out. So, if anybody knows where to find that koan, and I've probably messed it up, I've probably misremembered it, I'm probably embroidering it in ways that are inappropriate to a koan. If anybody knows of it, well, let me know so I can go find it again, read it again. The artist and the fish. Or perhaps it's the businessman and the fish. I don't know. I don't remember. All I remember is the story. And I always thought it was a cool story. Until now. Until just yesterday, just today. I don't know that I actually understood the truth in other than an intellectual way. Today I know the truth. Today I understand the truth of the story. Today I have a story. The projectionist showed up yesterday, and I just tried to type fast enough to keep up with the movie in my head. Back, just coming up to the last intersection now, crossing by the top of the park. They replaced all the signs. Every sign in town, every park sign in town has been changed, and I don't know if it's been changed to make them all consistent, because there was quite a lot of differentiation across them. If they've been changed because the old ones were too easily vandalized, and these are easily vandalized, but the pieces of it that can be vandalized are easily replaced. They're obviously really sturdy in the base and kind of cheap looking otherwise. They're pleasant enough. They're nice enough. I'm not finding fault with them. Kind of like them. And having them all be the same. So if you see this sign, you know it's a park. I haven't seen those signs on any other municipal building, like the city office or anything. You know, it's a park. At any rate, I made it. I'm here. I'm at the back gate. 22 minutes and 30 seconds. A minute faster than yesterday. But tomorrow is another day. And with any luck at all, I'll talk to you then.